Our great concern was that we would be too cold. No one really seriously thought we would be too hot. So we're practicing being tomato plants, absolutely thriving in the heat, okay? This is a very auspicious occasion, one that has been a long time coming, although the actual manifestation of this property was really fast. But it took a lot of years for us to get to this point where we could essentially start a whole other branch of Ananda. So we're very, very happy and very grateful to be here. We have a program designed for you that is pretty straightforward, and David will explain it to you in a few minutes. First, we'll start, though, with a prayer, and then we'll do a couple of chants and a little meditation, and then we'll go on from there. So settle in, make yourselves comfortable. We're going to be here for a little bit of time. Okay, let's pray together. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Friend, Beloved God,
Friend, Beloved God,
Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ,
Babaji Krishna,
Babaji Krishna,
Lahiri Mahashaya,
Lahiri Mahashaya,
Swami Sri Yukteswar,
Swami Sri Yukteswar,
Beloved Master,
Beloved Master,
Paramhansa Yogananda,
Paramhansa Yogananda,
Saints of all religions,
Saints of all religions,
dear friend Swami Kriyananda,
dear friend Swami Kriyananda,
humbly we bow to you all,
humbly we bow to you all.
We are so grateful,
we are so grateful,
for the opportunity to serve your work,
for the opportunity to serve your work,
for the gift of this beautiful farm,
for the gift of this beautiful farm,
as another way to serve you,
as another way to serve you.
Bless us,
bless us,
that we may hear your guidance,
that we may hear your guidance.
Bless us,
bless us,
that we may respond,
that we may respond,
with joy and devotion,
with joy and devotion,
whenever you call,
whenever you call,
whatever you ask of us,
whatever you ask of us.
We are your children.
We are your children.
Fill us with your light.
Fill us with your light.
Om Shanti, Shanti. Amen. Okay, we're going to do a couple of chants. And as we're chanting, you know, the loudspeakers are bigger than just this place. And feel as if the vibrations of what we're doing are just going out to all the creatures who live here, to all the plants that are here now and will be here later, and also just permeating this land with the vibrations of the masters, that all those who are destined to be drawn, to be blessed, to play a part in whatever is going to happen here. This land has been owned by one man for almost 50 years, and now it's transferred into a new incarnation. So it really has a very interesting history that is now really starting in a new way. And we're the solid beginning of that with our prayers and the blessings that we're going to do through the rest of the afternoon.
Welcome to Ananda Valley Farm. It's great to have all of you here. It's really a remarkable event for all of us. Any time that Ananda develops and expands, it takes Master's blessings and spirit out into the world in a much greater way. And so wherever we expand worldwide helps all of us and helps all of those who are living on this planet at this time. And so we feel that this is going to be one of those enterprises that is really going to help expand and build this work. And we're quite grateful that they have, the masters have provided this for us. And today we are dedicating this property and offering it back to them. I thought I would give a little brief timetable of what's happened, how we came to this project. Just to bring you all up to date, that there's a lot of kind of fun and interesting things that are a part of that development. It's not going to be every single detail. It's just going to be an outline. But I thought it would be a nice way to begin the day. for probably 15, maybe 20 years, we've been looking for a retreat facility in the Bay Area. And we've had different forays out into the countryside. A lot of the searching has been in the Santa Cruz Mountains and down towards the Scotts Valley area. And we'd look for a while and maybe find something that was somewhat possible, and then it would fade away or it wasn't really what we wanted. And some years would go and by, and then we'd go and start another search. And this happened many different times over the last 15 or 20 years, including most recently last year when we were looking at a particular property outside of San Jose. And that really wasn't going to be our ultimate destination. And then in April, 4 days before Swami Kriyananda left his body, he sent what turned out to be the last email to Asha and me. And in that email, which we passed on to many of you, he talked about the need for Palo Alto and Ananda in the Bay Area to have a farm and have a sanctuary, a place of safety and security if ever needed.
Anyway, back to your question, which is an important question. If this world is really suffering financially, the best solution will be, and Master said, take this as my best advice I can give you. Gather together, buy land in the country, grow your own food. And he had to speak then because he wouldn't be living now. But I think that time is coming, and I think it's going to be very important.
Of course, 4 days afterwards, Swami Kriyananda died, and we ended up going to Italy, and a little bit of time passed until we got back and everybody kind of got kind of settled into a new reality. And once we sent that email out, we were beginning to get emails back of people having ideas for farmland and different property. And it picked up a little bit after we announced that we were going to have a meeting at the church to talk about Swami's email, talk about the search for a farm, just to see where people were at. And it was quite surprising at that meeting how much enthusiasm there was from all of us urbanites to go out and find a farm. Up until that point, I think the only farm visit I ever had was when my father took me out to pick corn and tomatoes when I was a kid, and we'd go home on Sunday and have them as part of our Sunday dinner. So that was kind of my farm experience pretty much up until this point in time. So I wasn't able to add a whole lot of expertise to the situation that's going on here, at least directly in terms of farming. But we had a church meeting in Palo Alto, and there was a great deal of enthusiasm, which drew a huge amount of emails being directed back to me of people searching around, looking for different kinds of property in the Bay Area. And we were getting ideas all the way from Marin down to places south of Gilroy and Salinas. Someone sent us something that was around north of Los Angeles. I mean, we were getting all kinds of different ideas sent. And so one of the things I did was I began to create kind of, I started thinking about, well, what is it we're really looking for? You know, what's the criteria that we would like to have? Because sometimes if we can have that vision, it'll help to focus where we're going. And so this is what I wrote and sent out to everyone just as a way to get a little picture. And what I wrote was, the farms have ranged from Marin to Monterey County, Monterey counties. Our hope was to find land as close to Palo Alto as possible, so it would be centrally located for all of Ananda's centers to enjoy, benefit from, and participate in. Some of the criteria for the property included a working farm, not just barren land, adequate drinking and irrigation water, fertile soil, having it be beautiful, temperate, peaceful, and ready to go would be welcome perks. So after that meeting with so many different properties coming in, and I began to think, well, we really need to get a realtor to help us out. And so we had a dear friend who we've known for a long time, who's been a member of Ananda, James Morris, and I gave him a call on May 28th. That was 2 days after our church meeting. And he was more than willing to help out. He started sending more properties to me, and I had 70, 80 different listings going on, and I knew I just had to begin to figure out what was going on. So I started using the criteria and shrinking the possibilities. And one of the things I noticed was that this property in Half Moon Bay kept coming up. Four, five, six different people sent emails related to this particular website. And so the day after I talked to James initially to see if he was interested in the project, I called him back again and I said, I think we need to look at his property. So the following day, which is 2 days later after talking with James, he and I and I think three, four other people came out to this property to look around and to get a feel for it and to see if it had possibilities for us. And, you know, it was pretty incredible what we saw. It was pretty incredible in terms of matching up with the criteria that, you know, I had sent out and people were beginning to talk about and shaping the direction of our search. And so after that gathering, we called a meeting in Palo Alto. It was about a week and a half later, after a Sunday service. It was on July 9th. It wasn't a meeting, but it was a meeting out here in which many of you might have attended. People from our various centers came out. There were probably about 70 people here. It was kind of a cold, overcast day, but we did a whole tour of the property, and it was an incredible amount of enthusiasm for this property, and it still remained kind of surprising to me that there was an incredible amount of interest for a farm. So I just kind of rode all that energy. And after that visit on June 9th, Asha and I sent out a fundraising letter on June 12th. And money just started to pour in. Money came in and form of donations. We also were creating a way for people to invest in this property. The one thing we were trying to avoid was to have loans on the property that we would have to pay back on a monthly basis, because we really didn't have a source of income from this property. It, as you know, used to be a flower-producing farm, and we were going to change it over into a fruit and vegetable producing farm. And so there's nothing growing in that regard, and the ability to grow things immediately and create a flow of income from sales was not going to be there. And so we needed to avoid the loan situation, but it was remarkable how much money was just coming in to help reach the purchase price. And so when we sent out the fundraising letter, it was on June 12th. June 24th, we made an offer to buy the property 12 days later. I don't think we had all the money then. I'm pretty sure we did not have all the money then. But we were kind of getting close enough. Maybe not close enough for some of you, but close enough. From my experience, at least there was a possibility. So June 24th, we made the offer, and Mr. Silver on July 11th, which would be about 3 weeks later, accepted the offer. There was a lot of drama in between because we weren't the only ones interested in the property. There was drama in between because were we going to get the money to honor the offer? And there were a lot of legal issues going on because if we were buying the property based on donations and loans, it would be in a much easier legal process to buy the property. But because we were doing investments, the concept investments is highly regulated by the federal government, and we needed to find attorneys or an attorney, it turned out attorneys, who could handle this process for us to both make it all legally sound and also very solid for all those who have invested in this property. And it was that was a bit of an ordeal financially. It was a very intense sort of legal process trying to figure out how to make our situation work specifically for us. So all this was going on as Mr. Silva finally accepted the offer. Then it had to go through bankruptcy court and more drama there because other offers could come in that would supersede ours, at least the potential existed. But finally, on August 22nd, the deal finalized itself with all the signings and going through the title process, all of which was like 3 months process to do everything, which is remarkable in Ananda's history, I think, in terms of raising that kind of money so quickly, and just to pull the whole thing off and all the different aspects of it. So it really took the prayers and the energy of all of you to pull this together to really make it a success. And now we have a farm and we have a whole lot of other issues we have to deal with. I remember when I started a private high school in Denver, there was so much work getting through all the bureaucracy and the issues in starting that all of us afterwards thought, well, the school is going to be easy compared to all the inspections and so on. Well, we learned a lot once school began, and that was a whole nother huge endeavor. And so I'm sure the farm will be, but it's going to be great fun and a great experiment. And I think this property, because of the response from all of you, is really going to be nurturing in many different ways. So we are grateful for all the support and energy and financial energy that you've given. And as we say at Ananda, many hands do make a miracle. I wanted to, there are a couple people I wanted to just speak for a few minutes who have been extremely helpful in this process. One is our realtor, James Morris. So let me just tell you, he was, every day we connected, I think, phone, emails, he was on it and pushing it and carving it out and dissecting it and figuring out a pathway that we needed to travel and helping to explain to me the whole realty process and the purchase process. And he was just a gem and never gave up, just always moving forward, making progress, and was, you know, spectacular in terms of working with the realtor for the Silver Farm. We had a really good relationship there, and I think that had a lot to do with moving the process towards our success here. So I asked James to just sort of talk for a couple minutes about that experience for him. So, James?
I want to thank a few people. I'd like to thank David and Asha for their leadership throughout the process. Thank you. Lisa, for her common sense, steadfast, to the point, no nonsense, this is what we got to do. Because she cut through it. She really did. I mean, it was like, we're all, oh, what do we do? What do we do? We're debating. We're going, you know, oh, this is like, boom, this is what we should do. And she was right. And Jill, I don't know where Jill is, but she's right here somewhere. Where is she? Where are you? There you are. Attention to detail and the best devil's advocate I think we have. What do you think? She picked it apart. You know, I mean, we'd be all happy. Yeah, we're going to do this. This is great. And she'll be like, well, okay, you guys, what about this, 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 and this? So she forced us to really get down and work. And, we, and it was a little frustrating at times, but we appreciate it, Jill. So, David Klein. David Klein was the realtor for the Silvas. I mean, it wouldn't have happened without him. I mean, I have to really give him everything because he really, you know, as much as what I did, he guided me. So, I mean, he's, you know, 65-something years old. He's been doing this, you know, a lot longer than I have. And he really, he advocated for us, too. I mean, he really did. And, of course, Bert and Caroline Silva. I think, you know, we really should give them a bow, too, in an ohm. You know, they ultimately chose us. They eventually said, we want that offer. We like these people. We think they're going to, you know, our legacy can in some way go along with them. And if you ever get a chance to say hi to them, I don't know where they're at, but.
Yeah.
Are they? Good for them. Good for them. I mean, you know, it's a dream job when you get to do a job and do it something so tangibly for the masters. It doesn't happen that often. I mean, you know, it does. You know, we're all out there in the world and we're, you know, chanting om as we go along down the street doing our thing. But, you know, it's not when it's, well, it doesn't happen so often. It's so tangible. I mean, no, what can you say to that? And I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to work in that way. You know, I listen to Swamiji in the wind. I mean, one of my little meditations is I go out on my deck, and the wind will be blowing, and I hear it in the trees, and that's where I hear the stuff, you know. And Swamiji was really strong when this started. I mean, Dave and I would talk on the phone, and I'd be pacing around on my deck with I wear these headphones because I don't like to hold the phone to my ear. So I'd be pacing around, we'd be talking, whatever. And I'd stop, and we'd get off the phone, and I would just sit down, and I'd look up at the trees and listen. And that Swamiji was really strong. I mean, it was almost like when he was here, once he was gone, it was out there. He was everywhere. I mean, it was just super strong. So I experienced that. Thank you for everybody for donating. Thank you for your 401k money. I mean, that's who we couldn't have done it without. I mean, we're just a bunch of, you know, whatever, cogs here. But without all of you who donated, this, we wouldn't be here. So that's the big thank you. Am I 2 minutes up? I mean, other than that, I mean, I just, you know, I've worked here on the land a little bit. I've been out. I mean, you know, it's a great meditation to be able to get up a pick or a hoe and go out there in the dirt and dig and chant. And I encourage you all to do it because there's plenty of work to be done. So thank you, David.
I think I can mention this in public, but James tithed 10% of his commission for the sale of this property. And also he has mentioned that anyone from Ananda who is involved in a sale or purchase with him, that he too would tithe to Ananda for that portion of his income. I just also want to mention Lisa and Jill one more time. I don't think we could have done this project without them. They had incredible wisdom and tenacity with legal issues, with real estate issues, the forming and wording and thinking and developing all the different aspects of this, you know, very complex situation. And I don't know how we would have done it without their help. And none of you really have any idea what they added, but I can tell you it was a make or break situation with them, or in this case without them too. So blessings to both of you. One of the first things I did after we got the farm was to talk to the foreman of the Silver Ranch, Cain, who had been here for 39 years and has kind of in many ways helped to direct the activities here, working with the people, the other workers here, and has been really integral in making this property a success. And so he and I talked, and I wanted to offer him a job and have him be on this land as long as he was happy and fulfilled. And so he agreed to accept the job. His wife lives here. His children grew up here. He's been here 39 years. And so, in a sense, his family has grown up here. And we're very appreciative of him. He is, you know, has knowledge of really everything from the weather conditions to the road situation to the water situation to irrigation to the equipment and tractors. And not only is he very knowledgeable and also a very hard worker, but he's just a wonderful person with a great sense of humor. We laugh a lot. I always like to see him when I come out. And I know most of you have not met him before, but his name is Cain. When you speak, I guess in Spanish, here he is. Do you want to speak? He's going to speak.
Hi, everybody. I don't speak very good English, but I try to speak, okay? And when David came in first time here, I work on the pumps, and David walked down, say hi. He say, my name is David. Okay, it's in by the ranch. Okay. And then I buy the ranch, you work, yeah, but and then everything started like that, you know. and then thank you everybody for accepting my job, my work. I say to David, I try to hard, more hard to work this ranch. Because this ranch, I work almost 40 years here. And then I started again work. I think I say, David, see everybody work hard, everybody try. This ranch go up. I think so. I believe it. Okay? Thank you very much.
Okay. There was a phrase I've always thought of, but I've never actually mentioned to. His name is Cain, C-A-I-N, you know, if you were to be pronouncing it kind of in English. That's how it's spelled. And in my mind, I always think, Cain is Abel. Is your wife next to you, Patty? Why don't you stand up? I haven't had a chance to meet you. And what, that the whole rest of the fam? Julio? Okay. Well, we're very glad to have all of you here today, and Very glad, Patty, also to have you being with us here. And just want to let you both know we are working seriously on finding an upgrade for the trailer. So, okay. We have one of our best, I know you're looking too, but we have one of our best people who's looking into that, so we have not forgotten. Okay, one of the, other than Cain, the other person who is now working here on the property and actually in a paid position is Warren. Warren is doing part-time in the community and part-time here on the land. A very hard worker with many skills and is learning many things about this farm, especially in conjunction with Cain. So I asked Warren if he would say a few words. It may only be limited to a few words because he's not used to doing this. But I told him just to share a little bit about his experience of working here and being on this property.
In the affirmation for the Ananda Valley Farms, there's something about a safe haven. And even though we've been around for just barely 4 weeks, I feel it already. That just with the outpouring of everybody's attention and love and coming here on work days, and even when there is no work day, coming here and building fences and stairways and hauling garbage, there's just really a lot going on. And Cain is really an excellent teacher. He teaches by example, because I'm hoeing in the field and I'm going like this and I'm giving it way too much energy, and he comes up beside me and doesn't say a thing, and he just kind of goes like this and shows me how to do it. So, and then he just works side by side with me as we're going, and so that's just a really great experience working with Cain and all the other volunteers. And over the years, I've enjoyed hearing stories about Ananda and how it started in the 1960s and 70s with Swamiji, and over the years how it's changed and grown and morphed into this global university that it is today. And I really look forward to seeing what the farm will look like in a couple of weeks or a couple of decades, and see how it grows and changes and becomes even a more solid place for people to come and worship and have sanctuary. So thank you for this wonderful opportunity. I've got two of the best jobs in the world. Thank you.
Couple people I wanted to mention who have been doing a wonderful job here, helping, serving, sort of developing different ways of thinking about how to use the farm and develop the farm, have been Art and Jan Manzo. Why don't you stand up for a moment? Art, thank you. Art, in particular, is going to be heading up the marketing for the farm and the distribution of products. We need a whole team for that. So if you are interested in participating from that particular angle, either let me know or let Art know. And also Robert and Gloria Zadik. They live a couple stone throws away from here. Where are they? Okay. Yeah. Wonderful help, excellent help, really appreciative. And all four of them very enthusiastic, and a lot of ideas. We were talking with a group of people before the gathering today, and yesterday Robert was telling me all about biofuels and how we can operate the tractors on something other than diesel, and today he had completely other ideas of how to make these things work and going different directions. We finally ended up in nuclear energy. And but anyway, there's lots of ideas and enthusiasm and different approaches. And because the farm is is BIC and many facilities, there's lots of different ways for expression throughout the years. As someone mentioned the other day, this is not a three-year project. This is a long time, long-term, lifetime work to develop and to make something really beautiful here. And finally, the project here is really being run and operated by Lahari and Biraj. The energy on a day-to-day basis, the working with Kain, a lot of the decision-making regarding the farming, the operating of work days and helping people get integrated into the property and getting involved in it has been entirely really carried by them. Biraj is out here every day. I come out a number of times a week, and every time I see him, he is in various shades of dirt and sweat, different patterns on his shirt, and dirt all over his face. But soil. We're dealing with soil here. Before, all of you probably know Ananta from Ananda Village. He's head of our farming there for decades. He came to visit, maybe 8 weeks or so ago. And before he came, I sent him an email. I said, I'm learning the difference between dirt and soil, which end of the tractor is the front end, and the difference between a well and a spring, all before he got here. So I had a lot of work to do, but anyway, we very much appreciate, and we are being guided and managed by, their enthusiasm and dedication. And so I thought I'd ask Biraj to come out up just for a moment or two and share a little bit about, in particular, just the farming aspect of it and what we've done, directions that we're going in. This is not really an afternoon for reports. There's a lot more that could be shared with you of what we're doing. But I thought farming was an important aspect on a farm. I figured that one out. So Biraj is going to come up and share just a little about that with us.
Well, first thing I want to do is focus on the farmers, because what I've been noticing is it isn't just one or two or three of us who are the farmers. But what I've noticed is there's more than that. For instance, if you have been out here in the middle of the week and pounded a fence post or watered one of our seedlings or done some sweeping, if you've been here in the middle of the week, Monday through Friday, could you stand up right now? I just want to see how many of you that makes that have been here in the middle of the week. It was sometime or another for some project here. Okay, so there's some of your farmers. If you happen to have come out in the first of the weekend, the Saturday work days, and you were involved in that part of the farming project, we're getting the farm ready, I want to see who all was part of that farming group. Let's take a look to see who that was. All right. Yeah, some over here. Okay. And if you were here on the second of the work days, we affectionately call it the deluge day, Saturday, if you could stand up. So, thank you. I think, as you can see, it takes a whole village to run a farm. And you guys are this Ananda Valley farm. This is all of our work. This could not be done by any three or four people. The project, look around, it's enormous. I mean, it took us 4 weeks just to get the trash moved out. And we've hardly, our plants are only 2 inches tall. That's all we've been able to do in a month. But, there's so many aspects of this project, and you guys are making it happen. Thank you. Be watching out for, today we'll get our first seedlings put in the ground by you guys doing it. We haven't done any of those yet. So this is the first day that we're making that happen. We've got some lettuces starting to come out in the hoop house slowly. watch your emails, watch your This Week at Ananda's for upcoming work days, for upcoming news about community-supported agricultural programs, just like AMR has been running so successfully at the community. You'll be getting details on that. Watch the piazza on Sunday morning. You just might see some of the first produce starting to show up. David has given us permission to, you know, open a little kind of farmer's market right there. So watch for that, not too long in the future. And otherwise, if there's any day, Monday through Saturday, that you would like to come out and spend even 30 minutes out here on some project, rest assured that little board down there in the packing shed will have a project or two or seven that we could use help on. Just come. Me, Warren, Cain, we'll be happy to show you how to get started. We'd love your help on your farm. Thanks a lot.
Okay. I'd just like to give a little symbolic gift of gratitude to David and Asha, who have been the channels through which this huge energy, all of us, Swamiji on one side, all of us on the other side, could actually give birth to the beginning of this, to allow this to happen. So when we came first into the greenhouse, it was full of these little green shoots out of the earth called calla lilies, something that grows in Half Moon Bay in a big way. So because many of the ladies who came for the deluge workday weren't interested in big, heavy pieces of metal to toss into the dumpster and such, we kind of came into the greenhouse, and there were about 12 of us replanting all the calla lilies. And Trish Walden had a good idea at the beginning. She said, the first one, let's make it really special, and we'll save it for something really historic. So I think this is the historic moment where we get to give David and Asha the first calla lilies from Ananda Valley Farm. Unwrapping here. We're doing a lot of experimenting, and many of the calla lilies didn't really make it very well, but this one just came up strong and perfect just from the beginning. And this, I don't know if this is an anonymous gift, but someone said it's for David.
Okay. I'll open it up. Looks like some tomas from the farm here. Slash here, slash there. Okay, somebody wants me to work. You'll have to show me how to use this, Cain. So I've been giving Asha a little bit of time to think of some things to say and gather her thoughts. So she might be ready. She's kind of standing up now. And she will also share with you what's the rest of the afternoon once she stops talking.
Over the course of 40 years of being part of Ananda, a lot of really memorable things have happened. And many would certainly qualify as miracles, and all of them qualify as divine intercession. But I have never been involved in anything that had the grace on it that this project did. I mean, you can measure it in terms of days and hours and dollars per minute, I think it holds the record in every category. But it was something completely different that was really touching about it. It was just the quality of family, the extraordinary quality of trust, the attunement to Swamiji, the willingness to say, we really need to do this, and everybody just saying, yes, of course, we really need to do this. There was no necessity to persuade a single person. It was just, where is the door? How can I walk through it? We called James to be our realtor because when we started looking for property and we're going to commit to buy it, we didn't have any money. And we said to it, David and I said to each other, we need a realtor to whom we can say, we need to buy a property. We know how expensive it is. We don't have any money. Can you take us out in good faith? Can you give a lot of your valuable time to buy a property because we don't have any money? James, of course, we've known James since he was 18 years old. We knew full well his response was, sure. But there's a reality to doing things for God that is just completely different. Master even actually said that karmic law is always, you know, cause and effect, A to B, except for devotees. He said the karmic law actually works different for devotees. It's not the same linear process. We put out our energy. We do what we're supposed to do. But the solutions are not necessarily related to the actions that we're taking. And this was definitely one of those. The solution was not related to the actions. It was impossible to generate so much money so fast. But more touching than anything to me was the spirit with which people did it. The end result, which David referenced, and my job and Lisa's job and Jill's job became at a certain point working with the lawyers. We ended up with very sophisticated lawyers. Whether we actually needed that or not, nobody knows at this point. But we were raising over $1 million. We were dealing with a nonprofit and a profit entity. We were dealing with so many people's money. We raised almost $2 million, but once you go over $1 million, you're in different categories legally. It just went on and on and on and on, and it was stopped repeatedly because you can't do what we're trying to do. Nobody does what we're trying to do. Nobody really does things for trust. It's like a word that, like, you can't say that word in a lawyer's office. Oh, it'll be okay, because we all trust each other, you know. And it's like the furniture begins to laugh at you at that point. But we just knew it. It was like, when you live for God, you live in a different reality. And then you have to figure out how to translate it. And that was sort of what this project was. We lived in this reality that we knew, just like James was saying. We knew that this was really what Master wanted us to do. And it's not clear to me why exactly. It's clear if we think, oh, we may really need this place. We may really need the food. All of those things are possible. But what's really been interesting to me is that long before any of the, you know, the real challenging scenarios have touched us, having this land has changed our Sangha. It's changed our community. It's land has power. And I think this property has power. It has divine power to uplift us. I think being close to it uplifts us. People who deal with property all the time, friends who are realtors, and Santoshi, who's been a realtor her whole life, and many others, they say that land has a mystic destiny. And that you try and you do deals and you do due diligence and you negotiate in good faith. But they say that land has a destiny and you can't buy property that isn't destined for you. You know, a planet has a guiding spirit. I'm sure that all the devas and the angels who live on this land and the power of the masters, we rode the train, and it was pretty clear to us that this was our land. But we always felt if it's not, God knows what it is. But if he knows that this is ours, he'll make it happen. And other people were also trying to buy it. And if it had been theirs, it would have gone to them, and we would have gone on to something else. But especially, and this is what we're doing today, we're giving this property to God. I've tried to tell people, like the woman who cuts my hair and the friend where I buy the blue fabric from, you know, people that I know well but are not necessarily inside of the community that we live in. Oh, what have you been doing lately? Oh, you know, 100 friends and I have been buying a big farm in Half Moon Bay. You know, oh, you know, sure. I mean, how could anybody in this area buy property? Who could afford it? We're just humble people. But 100 of us got together and bought land. I mean, who would do that? You know, who would do that? And even when I finally present to everyone these incredibly complicated legal pages, papers, pages and pages, and I give them the incredible story about how, why it's like this and not like that and like this and not like that and what these 14 pages are about, everybody just says, where do I sign? Because we know who we are together. And I haven't been out here in about 5 or 6 weeks, and this property to me is only been incidentally about the land. It was money and legal. It was lawyers and money. And every so often I'd realize, oh, there's a place associated with this. But what I've seen, and this is the power of it, it's like this place has something to give us. And I think it's going to be giving for a very long time. When you dedicate a place to the work of the masters, when you do it beautifully as we're going to be able to do it over the next 30 years probably, it also gives back to us. And so there's this enormous sense of gratitude to all the people involved. And I second what David said about Jill and Lisa, whose talents were unknown to us until we got started on this project. And it was just one more example of the fact that God knows exactly what he's doing. You know, he just sent two extremely sharp ladies who know real estate exactly and just knew exactly what to do. And it was just like, oh, there you are. You know, Master gave us the land and then he gave us the people. And now we have a responsibility. It's an enormous responsibility to mark out a piece of the planet Earth and say, well, this will be a Ananda Valley farm. You know, we just took the valley and named it after the spirit of joy. Like, why not? But Ananda Valley Farm now has its own reality, which is going to be going on for a very, very long time. And all of us have just sort of stepped in now onto this moving train. And we'll just watch this thing unfold. And we'll be able to wander the hills and eat the vegetables and stand up on the hilltop when we get the road cleared all the way up and stand on what people are calling Swami's lookout, and whatever piece of the beach we can see, we'll call Swami's beach, whatever it might be, after Master's Beach in Encinitas. But all of that is just an extraordinary gift because of, you know, we live, all of us, most of us, in very urban areas, very busy areas. Some of you are fortunate to live over here. But now all of a sudden, it's like we're on both sides of the hill. I cannot tell you how many times in the last 25 years that we've been here, Swami has stood or been in a car, pointed up to skyline. You need land over there, he said. You need land over there. And in his way, because he never would nag, and he would always assume that you heard him, but if you didn't act on it, he had this marvelous way of just bringing it up again, as if it was like a new idea. You know, I was thinking, you need land over there. Yes, sir, that's an excellent idea. You know, like up on Skyline or over on the other side. You need land up there. But it was waiting for us. You know, Bert and Carolyn were still working the farm at that time, and this was our destiny, and it just wasn't there for us. I think above all, Ananda means joy, as you all know. And so I think what this place is and always will be is the place of Ananda. And I think its destiny is unformed in the sense that nothing about the divine plan is predetermined. It's always a question of willing instruments. God found amazing willing instruments to start this. And, you know, I was sort of interested in the fact that he wasn't sending one farmer. I kept hoping that he would send. He sent us Cain, God bless you. When David told me that Cain was willing to stay on, it was like, oh, thank you, Lord. But I thought he would send, you know, one Ananta would move here. For, you know, we played out scenarios. Maybe Ananta and Maria would move here, and maybe others would move here. We just kept, but they haven't, because I think it's more for us to figure it out. And Robert's been carving steps up to the spring, and James has been clearing the road, and I just keep hearing everybody's got their hands on it. And I think that's what Master intended. It's a community farm. It's for all of us to do. And I'm speechless. I really am. I think we're all in shock. It was a very sweet, I'll just give you one more little personal thing and then I'll let it go. In the last 7 or 8 years, ever since Swamiji asked me to start writing more seriously, I haven't been able to participate in the community and the Sangha in the way that I did in the first years. I've just had to accept that Swamiji has something else that he wants me to do, and you know, even more. I just have to write and I have to travel more. But this project was kind of like a little honeymoon for me, because I got to just get right back into the time when David and I were always doing it together. And it had that extra sweetness to it, and I know that colored everything for me. But I also feel like Divine Mother just wanted to just say, oh yes, you know, you can be back in this particular flow and look at the magic that happens when we all do it together. And for that, I'm so deeply grateful, you know, that we all got to be here and do this. Now what's going to happen, we have just a few more little pieces to this. We made up these little envelopes. You have one in your hand, Rosalba. I'll hold it up in the air. These little envelopes, and they're all stacked over there. Pardon me? I'm sorry. Yes, I. Inside those envelopes, which you can pick up as you go out the door, we're going to send you out to bless this land. And inside the envelopes you will find a little bit of soil from Crystal Hermitage. It's wrapped in a little paper package, and you kind of open it up carefully. It's like the way they old-fashioned made packages. 25 years ago, someone took soil from Crystal Hermitage, sifted it and sifted it and sifted it and made it as fine as cinnamon, gave Swamiji a canister of this soil as a birthday present, gave it to him while he was living in Crystal Hermitage. He thought it an odd present. What am I going to do with this, he said. I said, I don't know, sir, I'll take it. I have carried that canister from place to place for like the last more than at least 25 or 30 years. And when we had this property, I said, this is what it's for. So it's soil from Crystal Hermitage. And then also there's another paper packet with a star on it. That is a little piece of rock from Babaji's cave in Raniket in India. And because I was afraid you wouldn't actually put that rock on the ground, over under Babaji's picture are more rocks from Babaji's cave that you can put in your pocket. Okay? And if you have friends, you can take extras for them too. Then there's a little plastic bag that has Ganges water in it. The Ganges water is actually on a piece of cotton, because when we put the water in by itself, it kept escaping. So there's a little, and you can either bury the cotton or just squeeze the Ganges water out of it. And then there's also a picture of our masters and a picture of Swamiji. And what we'd like you to do is just wander about and bury them, distribute them, you know, bring back the plastic bag, bring back the paper, put it far enough underground so it won't litter, although we could do worse than having pictures of the masters blowing around, but better put it in the ground. Also, under the pink cloth, we'll raise it. We have all kinds of pictures of Master and other of the gurus. Just wander around. You can go far up the hills if you want to. We'll take about 30 minutes, and we'll be chanting in here the whole time, so you'll be able to hear the chanting. If you want to walk up to the spring, the road is right outside that door. It's a hot, steep walk up to the spring box. I made it, though, so it can be done. Robert, courtesy of Robert, there's stairs at the end. You'll see certain signs. They really are asking you to stay away from the spring area itself. It's all clearly marked because everything is a little fragile up there. But if you feel like making that hike or even just going partway up the hill and just getting the view, it's really gorgeous. So, and then after that's done, you know, come back. It's 4:15. At the very latest, it'll be 4:15. Maybe we'll stop a little sooner if everybody comes back. Then we're going to do a fire ceremony and a closing song, and that'll be our day. Okay? Pardon me? And then, of course, food afterwards. Okay.
What time is dinner?
Whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes, the seedlings. I forgot about the seedlings. Okay.
If you want to, also, as you wander around, you have the opportunity to plant a seedling in the field out here to your left. And Vinny and Amra will be out there to show you so that you can actually plant a plant. I think it's kale or a mixture. So you can do that as you wander also. So you can wander off in any direction.
Coming quicker, closer.
If you want to, maybe not. Everything is always on. We always get everything back. It's a way of purifying whatever has been here before. Just burning it up and changing it into free energy. Transferring responsibility, transferring consciousness. One man with a lot of help built this farm. And his energy has been very, you know, clean and honorable and extremely human. He made life himself and his family for a whole huge group of people during that time. So we also really want to bless him, Bert and Harolyn Silva. They're moving on to a home in the valley, living close to her family. They're Portuguese, and there's a big Portuguese community there. So he's 70 years old. It's not 72. It's not an inappropriate time. He didn't choose it. Economic factors forced him into it, but it was all part of the inevitable change that happened. So we also want, in this fire ceremony, to bless him for all that he did to make this possible for us, and to confirm, you know, that his good karma and passing it on to us will result for him and for all the other dozens and dozens of people who built this farm to this point. We did promise him that we would carry on his legacy in an honorable way, and it was very sincerely meant that whatever he had built, we would build on it. And so that's also what we're affirming. And if you want to move back as the fire gets hotter, it's a particular tapasya that sadhus do. It's called, I think it's either seven suns. I think it's seven suns. They surround themselves with six fires under the sun and do it as a tapasya to sit in the heat. And the Indian heat is really something. We were not imposing that on you. But you may take it accordingly. We do not have Swamiji recording of the mantra. So we're going to do it ourselves, okay? So all of you would know that. And actually, it's good because with his recording, we all got a little passive. So those of you who know it, and then David will put the ghee and the rice in. We'll do seven of the first one and then seven of the second one, as we always do. But we're not going to have everybody throw rice, but just symbolically add your energy to everything that's happening. Okay, are you ready? Am I starting? Somebody else does it better than the first note.
Savitur Varemi. Sabitur Varaniyam Varo Devasya Vimahi Hiyo
actually felt that they were leaving the planet for lack of appreciation. And
so even though this song, we've often sung it very lighthearted, he actually wrote it with a very serious purpose, because he felt it was part of the imbalance that was happening on the planet, is that people were not in tune with nature anymore. And so this was his way of trying to bring a Kriya Yoga spirit into that movement, so to speak, which is why the chorus is to Divine Mother, so that we see behind every aspect of nature an expression of the divine. So certainly, in as much as we're now custodians of this beautiful piece of natural land, or more natural than where we presently live, we thought we should really affirm this. So before we just sort of sail into it, let's, and please sing it a little slower, because there's a lot of words and we can't really get through them that way. Okay, let's try it again.
Beloved Master,
Paramhansa Yogananda,
Saints of all religions,
dearest friend,
Swami Kriyananda,
humbly we bow to you all, with all our hearts,
our minds and souls, minds and souls.
We give this land to you.
We give this land to you.
Help us to take care of it.
Help us to take care of it.
According to your will.
According to your will.
That it be a place of safety.
That it be a place of safety.
Of celebration.
Of celebration.
And of divine joy.
And of divine joy.
We are your children.
We are your children.
Guide us.
Guide us.
That in everything we do.
That in everything we do.
We are your instruments.
We are your instruments.
Of unconditional love and joy.
Of unconditional love and joy.
To everyone we meet.
To everyone we meet.
Let's rub our hands together and turn in all directions. Feel the power of the arm going out from us, blessing this land, making it a beacon of life, protecting and blessing everyone who comes here.
Oh.